are Locked On Big Ten, your daily podcast on the Big Ten Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Today is a special day here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast, as it is our 200th episode of this show. So first off, a thank you to all of you who have been listening along this journey. And secondly, hello and welcome to the 200th episode of the Locked On Big Ten podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. It is Tuesday, February 16th, and as it is a Tuesday, it is our State of the Program episode. But to mark this historic occasion, our 200th episode, we will have two States of the Program in one single show. That means two guests. We will first talk Nebraska basketball, snapping a historic losing streak on this historic episode of Locked On Big Ten, and then Maryland basketball and their hopes for the NCAA tournament. So I'm very pleased to mark this very special day of the Locked On Big Ten podcast with one of my favorite people in the entire world. It is Nick Hanley, the host of the Nick Hanley Show on AM 590 ESPN Omaha, joining us to talk some Nebraska ball. And the streak is over. 404 days later, Nebraska basketball gets a win in Big Ten competition. Nick Hanley, great to have you on the podcast and great to get some of your thoughts about those Huskers in Lincoln.
Good to be on with you, Ben. First of all, congrats on the 200th episode, being a part of that too. I know it's not just basketball, but football as well. That's anytime you could rattle off 200 uninterrupted in this day and age, competitive as it is, that is very impressive. So hats off to you and your crew.
You're wearing a hat right now, but you didn't take your hat off. That's kind of messed up that you wouldn't do that for me.
I'm sorry.
That's a classy tip right there. And nobody can see this
because you, but yeah,
it's audio, but regardless, yeah. Nick did give me the classy hat tip right there. Nick, I started this the first week of March last year. And then 1 week later, the Big Ten basketball tournament was canceled. The sports world and the world as we know it came to a halt. I thought I was bad luck, but here we are 200 episodes later. And to mark this historic day, we're talking Nebraska basketball. How else would we have it here with Nick Hanley, the host of the Nick Hanley Show on AM 590 in ESPN Omaha. So Nick, let's talk about it. Nebraska on Sunday beat Penn State. It ended a 26-game losing streak in Big Ten play for the Huskers. What do you think this win means for the program overall?
I think it's just something that they needed more than anything. I don't think this necessarily changes the trajectory of the season, so to speak. I don't think that this all of a sudden leads you to believe that this team is all of a sudden going to go on some unprecedented roll or anything like that, and they're going to be this big handful in the Big Ten tournament. But more than anything, I think when we sometimes get sort of lost in the amount of games that we talk about, that we react to, we forget about the student-athletes and we forget about the daily grind. Well, with Nebraska having it, and I'm not trying to cue the violin because I know Fred Hoiberg does not even want to make any slight bit of an excuse, but I'm going to do it for him. When you're off 28 days for COVID, it's not like you're off 28 days, but you're in the gym during those 28 days. You're still getting your work in, but 28 day pause to where only five of those days you're able to actually practice and get ready for what is now just a brutal stretch of games, going all the way back to last Saturday when they had to play Michigan State. Then they play Monday. Then they play Wednesday. Then they play Friday. And then they play yesterday. Now they're going to go back-to-back against Maryland tomorrow and Wednesday. Look, it's that's tough on anybody. And when you're talking about upper respiratory issues, I'm sure you, Ben, I know myself, I've dealt with this. In fact, I was telling a story on the air, not even close to college, but high school basketball, when I was a senior, I had bronchitis. And I remember coming back and having to play, and it was brutal. Like, even 2 minutes into it, and I probably missed a week of practice, that was it. I mean, 2 minutes into it, I was just gasping. Like, I was struggling. My chest was tight. I mean, you think of the guys that were infected at some level whether it was more mild symptoms or guys that maybe were just asymptomatic. I mean, we do know that some of this team was infected. So for them to get their wind back, for Fred to try to manage minutes, but then all of a sudden you have to deal with guys that are getting into foul issues too, that is not easy. And so what this team experienced yesterday, in my opinion, was something that they just needed to happen for them to, for the sake of just being able to finish this month with more good vibes, knowing that you're coming out every day and there's a chance. And I think that really started Friday night when they had a very good chance of beating Illinois, and a great Illinois team. You and I have talked about Illinois on my show many times. That's a great team. They had a chance to beat them. And, they could have gone completely the other way yesterday and just played horrendous basketball and just got blown out by a Penn State team that's not that bad. That they, I think what they showed yesterday was, you know, some grit, some toughness, whatever cliche you want to use. Now, does this mean they're going to all of a sudden turn a corner? No, but I think you can feel good for this team of what they've experienced over the last really month now.
And you saw Teddy Allen kind of encapsulate that when he just streaked into the locker room, very excited after the win over Penn State on Sunday, and just good for the Huskers. You have to feel good for a team getting back into the win column in Big Ten play when it has been a struggle this year and all the issues that they have dealt with, like much of the Big Ten Conference has dealt with. Now, you talk about the very interesting scheduling quirk that we have tonight and Wednesday, a back-to-back on the road in College Park against Maryland. A part of this home stretch of the finale of the Big Ten regular season, what do you want to see from Nebraska basketball as we conclude this year of Big Ten basketball?
We probably need a little bit more than an hour to talk about that. But I mean, I think the basic things that I don't, I'll start with this, things that I don't expect to get better is all of a sudden Nebraska going to be a 75% free throw shooting team. Okay, for whatever reason, they just cannot shoot free throws. It's baffling. It's been this way now for the last couple of years. It's something that Fred is going to have to address. I don't know what's going on there, but I don't expect them to all of a sudden turn into this amazing free throw shooting team. But the one thing that has been plaguing this team that I think you could see them do a much better job of is being able to value possession. You know, Fred talks about that. Even in the win yesterday, they had 16 turnovers. Against Illinois, they had costly turnovers. Really, all throughout the week since the restart, they've had a lot of turnovers, at least 15 or more turnovers. So, can you value the possession? This is a team that goes on droughts offensively. It happens every game. And if you can maximize your possession, if you're able to get the looks that you need to get, and you're able, even if you miss a shot, you're missing a shot as opposed to throwing the ball away and not knowing what you could have got out of that possession. So for Nebraska, I hope that number starts to bring itself closer to, let's say, in the next 2 weeks, you're averaging more of like 10 to 12 as opposed to, you know, 15 to 17 turnovers per game. Because you think about the difference in those types of possessions. If Nebraska can get some scoring on those possessions, you know, they've been in close games at times. You know, it's a one half versus second half or second half versus one half when they play good basketball. So that's one thing I think you could realistically expect. And then I think the defensive effort, that's a big bright spot for this team. That's something that I think they understand. That's their identity right now, because the offense isn't just going to magically appear. They're going to have a game here and there where they probably shoot better, but it's not going to be the identity for the rest of the season. They got to lean on that defensive identity, muddy up the game, ugly up the game, but then going back to every possession you have has to account for something. Those are the things I'd like to see them have a little bit more consistency in. And I think if they do that, they can scrape together a couple more wins before all is said and done.
At the conclusion of Wednesday night's game against Maryland, that will be Nebraska's seventh game in a 12-day span. It has been a grueling stretch since returning from that nearly month-long COVID pause. It took a long time for Nebraska basketball to get a win in Big Ten competition, snapping a 26-game losing streak in the conference, but that's over. You know what doesn't take you a long time? The convenient self-service you receive at rockauto.com. It's a family-run business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. When you go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, they literally have everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, you can go see their catalog, find what you need quick, fast, and efficient, and then get it delivered to your door. You don't need to leave. You don't need to go to a traditional storefront. You can sit on your couch. You can order what parts you need for the best prices at rockauto.com. Speaking of those prices, they are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So when you go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck, write Locked On. That's L-O-C-K-E-D space O-N. L-O-C-K-E-D space O-N in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you here from the Locked On Podcast Network. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. We're feeling the energy. We're feeling the good vibes off a Nebraska win. So you know the jingle is going to hit on a high note here on this State of the Program Tuesday. Also, the 200th episode, not quite the 200th jingle, but here we go. All the parts your car will ever need. Rock Auto, rockauto.com. On this State of the Program Tuesday episode, we're covering everything you need to know about the Big Ten Conference in general and two specific programs in Nebraska basketball and soon to come Maryland basketball. We're covering everything you need to know about the Big Ten, but what about the rest of sports? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your favorite shows. They're in like the first 2 weeks of what they're doing. We're in the 200th episode here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. Our State of the Program show right now talking about Nebraska basketball rolls on. So Nick Hanley, let's take the view even a little bit bigger picture here. As you look at this Nebraska basketball program, what is the feeling around this Huskers team with Fred Hoiberg now in his second year at the helm?
I think there's disappointment. I don't think there's any question. And let me be clear, I don't think people are disappointed in Fred and Fred being at Nebraska. How could you be? But I think and this is just my opinion, this is how I kind of see this team right now, is I felt January was going to be a very important growth month for this team. You know, you saw some good and some bad in December. They got off to a decent start. They were in some close games, and they just couldn't get the job done. I thought January, with the amount of games they were going to play, was going to provide them that opportunity to sort of find that consistency, whether, again, it's limiting the turnovers, if it's maximizing your possessions, you know, being able to find a little bit more rhythm. Again, I think this roster is more talented than it was a year ago, but it's not playing out that way. And I think one of the biggest reasons it's not playing out that way is because the familiarity. January is going to be so important for that as well. You know, having the familiarity, having just that overall comfort level with one another in competitive games, not just in scrimmages, not just in practices, but in competitive games. Basically having that entire month wiped out, I think that kind of puts this program and this roster back to square one. And so I, as we talk about the restart, I think it's exactly that for this basketball program. So there's definitely disappointment there that we don't know what this team might have looked like in February. And again, don't mix words on this. I know you won't. And when I talk about this, I always have to preface it by saying, I'm not suggesting this would have been a tournament team or even a threat in the Big Ten tournament. What I'm saying is, I think you would have had a better idea of the direction of this roster, the direction of this team by the end of February, because a lot of things would have been building to where we are right now in the schedule. And unfortunately, you're having to go right back to the drawing board and try to figure things out again. Maybe it's not the worst thing that they're playing it this many games, because, you know, there's really no time to kind of sit and dwell on things too much. I mean, you're getting right back out there and you're learning on the fly. You're learning in the heat of the moment. That could be good and bad. But again, I just look at that lost month and think, man, that was very crippling for the growth of this program.
And this has been a roster that was assembled through the transfer market, guys that had not really played a lot together. So to lose an entire month is always going to be a difficult thing. Speaking with Nick Hanley, the host of the Nick Hanley Show on AM 590 ESPN Omaha, a great friend of this program who on the 200th episode has probably been here for five or six episodes. And in some of those episodes, the focus has been Nebraska football. Today it's Nebraska basketball. But I bring that up because I think I've asked you in the past, what do you need to see out of Scott Frost in his next season to make you feel confident about the direction of Huskers football? I ask you the same thing. What do you want to think and see out of Fred Hoiberg next year to make you feel confident about the direction of this Nebraska basketball program?
Well, I think what we've learned as either Nebraska media members or Nebraska fans is talk is cheap. Okay. We've been told a lot of things. We've been sold a bill of goods. You know, we've talked a lot about this with the football state of the program too. It's like, okay, now is the time to just get things done on the field. And then your words hold a lot more value when explaining everything that's going on with the program. I think there's a sense of that with Fred, but I don't think it is as much, because Fred's a very analytical guy. Fred's a very mild-mannered guy. Not that Scott Frost isn't either. But I think the fact that Fred has this track record of what he did at Iowa State, a highly respected person in the National Basketball League as well, that you think about understanding, okay, here's what's happening with this team right now. So it is up to me, a very cerebral person, a guy that he goes into every little situation with it being thought out from start to finish in every different way he could possibly do it. This is a highly analytical person. And I think his players understand that. They reflect that. I think there is a lot of trust when it comes to Fred Hoiberg. And so the thing I want to see in year three is, again, trying to see that wave start to flatten out to where, again, you're seeing the way Fred is as a very even keel person. And I know I'm doing this with hand gestures. You can't see it on this radio part, but the very even keel approach that his team has, those types of games where the defense is consistent. The offense, though, is a lot more consistent. And I mean, for 40 minutes, not for a half here or an 8 minute stretch here. You're seeing more opportunities for this team to score points. You're seeing the turnovers flatten out again, too. It's not this highly erratic brand of basketball, because when you think of what Iowa State became under Fred Hoiberg, it was a team that was highly offensive. It was a team that could make defensive stops, but they were going to beat you every night. If you wanted to go 80 points, 90 points, they could run with you on that. They were fine playing down the 60 or 70 point ball game too. I think that it continues to be the process of not having those highs and lows, the roller coasters, is evening this thing out. And I think, again, for that to happen, this roster, which is a good thing is about this, Ben, is, you know, you always wonder about, oh gosh, you have a bad year like this. You have a shutdown year where there's a pause, there's all this unprecedented stuff going on, man. Guys are just going to get disinterested and they're going to transfer. Well, hell, this team is basically built off transfer. So you're going to go transfer again? So, I mean, whether they like it or not, a lot of these guys are stuck here, which is good because they're going to need that year together. They're going to need that normal offseason. They're going to need that normal summer. They're going to need that normal fall camp to get into the season. All of those things, I think, can really benefit this team. So where I'm looking for this team in year three under Fred Hoiberg is to be able to see the benefits of all that, see the fruits of all that labor of having more of a normal offseason, but also having a roster that's a lot more familiar with itself, and then also bringing in some new talents as well. You get the reinforcements in there with a team that's already been together, and they've been through a lot together, and I would assume the majority, now there's always attrition, we know that, but I would assume the majority of those guys are going to be back, which, again, I think this is a good year to kind of, year three, that is to look at Fred to see what type of presence he has with this program and the true direction that it is going. Because remember, in basketball, there's not a lot of expectations with Nebraska basketball. Any fan will tell you, if you can get to the tournament one out of every 3 years, and heaven forbid you win an NCAA tournament basketball game, you're going to have a statue right out in front of Pinnacle Bank Arena. So, again, it's not this heavy burden, overwhelming expectations that I think sometimes can impact the football team. You don't have that with basketball. You can, for the most part, work under the radar and work with very reasonable expectations. So I think year three, all of that can sort of come together to where you're starting to see the buildup with this program.
And one of those reinforcements you mentioned coming in next year for Nebraska is Bryce McGowan, the younger brother of Trey, the highest ranked recruit in Nebraska basketball history, the first ever five-star. And Husker fans, if it seems bad at times, at least take solace in the fact that both your head football coach and head men's basketball coach are the two best looking coaches in all of the Big Ten Conference. I have said that from the jump when they hired both Scott and Fred in Lincoln. Nick Hanley, not a bad looking guy himself, the host of the Nick Hanley Show on AM 590 ESPN Omaha, joining us here on the 200th episode of Locked On Big Ten, the state of the program from the Nebraska basketball perspective. Nick, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, Ben.
And now our second guest on our second state of the program for this 200th episode of Locked On Big Ten is all about Maryland basketball. And joining us now is Matt Levine. He is a play-by-play broadcaster for WMUC Sports on campus in College Park. He has been calling some of these recent Maryland basketball games. So who better to give us the perspective of the state of the program for these Maryland Terrapins right now than Matt Levine? He has been on the show before. He is back. It is a pleasure to have you here as a part of the 200th episode of this podcast.
Thank you, Ben. Thanks for having me. Honored to be a part of number 200 and just happy to be back.
A historic day, any day I speak to Matt Levine, but even this a little bit more so on this 200th episode. So let's talk about these Maryland Terrapins, one of the more intriguing teams in the entire Big Ten Conference, in my opinion. They are 10-10 overall this year when you take into account only their Division I games. They have four Quad 1 wins. How would you, Matt Levine, describe this year for the Terps?
I think when you look at their resume and you look at the their record, it's just so weird. And that's kind of how everything's been in college basketball this year. But they've been able to pick up wins on the road over ranked teams. They've been able to they've struggled at home a little bit against these conference opponents. But I think their resume kind of speaks for itself, that they've had a top five toughest schedule in the country. And just pretty much every night, it's a battle. And when they don't play well, they're not going to win. They're extremely inconsistent. But when you break it all down, they have four ranked wins in the Big Ten, and they just beat Minnesota on Sunday, on Valentine's Day. So that's a huge step in the right direction, because looking forward, looking at the rest of the way now, Rutgers is unranked this week. So right now, there's no currently ranked teams that Maryland will face the rest of the way. So this is their chance to really pick up those wins and try to get a better record, because right now, I think only the record is what might hurt them come tournament time.
Funny enough, on this State of the Program Tuesday, when we have two states of the program from two different programs, that both of those programs play each other on this State of the Program Tuesday night. Of course, I'm talking about Nebraska visiting Maryland, and we're getting all of our lines for this threefer of Big Ten basketball on a Tuesday night, a triple header of Big Ten hoops from betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. We are in the thick of college basketball season, Big Ten basketball season. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost everything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all of it. The three games we have tonight in Big Ten basketball. The first one up, Michigan State and Purdue. The Boilermakers, a 5.5-point favorite. They were off this weekend. They haven't played since the loss to Minnesota this past Thursday night. Can Michigan State rally at a time they desperately need to? That's going to be tough. I like Purdue in that game in Mackey Arena. The second game of the night is Nebraska and Maryland, actually at the same time as that Michigan State-Purdue game. Nebraska, coming off their first win in Big Ten play in more than 400 days, a 9.5-point road underdog visiting Maryland in College Park this evening. The third and final game of this triple header of Big Ten basketball on Tuesday night is the Battle of the State of Illinois, the Land of Lincoln Trophy when it comes to basketball. Illinois hosting Northwestern. If you remember, Northwestern had a 15-point lead over these Illini in their first matchup of the year heading into that halftime locker room. Then Illinois rallied, blew out the Wildcats in Evanston. This one in Champaign. Illinois, as our friends at betonline.ag see it, a 14-point home favorite. The over-under total there higher, 144. All of those lines, spreads, totals, all of it coming to you from betonline.ag. Head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, and you'll get 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you go to betonline.ag. Again, with the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We are less than 4 weeks away from Selection Sunday, which means the NCAA tournament is quick approaching. The future of the NBA is on display right now in this big portion of the college basketball season. Get a head start on next year's draft analysis by subscribing to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast. Draft guru Chad Ford has the best big board, his first big board of the year out, with profiles of Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State, Jalen Suggs from Gonzaga, Evan Mobley from USC. I'm sure a bunch of Big Ten players on there as well. Subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you get your podcast. Are there NBA prospects on Maryland's roster? Probably not so much, but we talk about the job that Mark Turgeon has done coaching this year's Terp squad. That continues on our State of the Program episode with Matt Levine. The resident bracketologist of this podcast, Kevin Sweeney, told me last week in his first appearance on Bracketology Wednesday, we'll hear what he says coming up on tomorrow's episode, but he told me that Maryland right now sits on the wrong side of the bubble, but if the Terps can get to above 500 in their record, they will be in the NCAA tournament. Do you agree with that statement?
I think so. I mean, there's no way you can count them out with how many ranked teams they've beaten, and especially on the road. And you look at those teams, they beat Wisconsin on the road, they beat Illinois on the road, they beat Minnesota on the road, and then they just beat up on Minnesota on Sunday to sweep that series. So they didn't really battle with Michigan. They didn't battle with Iowa well. If they're able to just pick up those wins against two games against Nebraska, one more against Penn State, a game against Rutgers, Michigan State, Northwestern, those are a couple tournament teams in there, and you're looking at above 500 on your overall record. Right now they're 11-10, but you might even get to above 500 in the conference if they're able to do some special things at the end of the year.
And Mark Turgeon has taken some heat in the past, but I think, and a lot of people have also said, this might be the best coaching job he has done with a roster that doesn't have the playmaker, the most talent it's had in recent years in College Park. What do you make of the job that Mark Turgeon has done for this year's Maryland team?
I think that in-game adjustments has always been something he's done well that really gets overlooked, because fans in this area just tend to get on him as quickly as they possibly can. Even last year when they won the Big Ten title, there was times where Maryland would be down by 15 in the first half and everybody's getting on them, and they come back to win in the second half. And we've seen them obviously fall to the top Big Ten teams, but we've also seen them win some crazy games on the road. This is a program record that they've beaten three ranked teams on the road. So they're doing special things. It's just a matter of getting that consistency. And that's where I think it will come towards the end of the year, by playing those weaker teams. And then you'll really start to see if his coaching has, and the adjustments that he's going to make, you'll really see it then, instead of the fans of Maryland basketball really criticizing him as much as they do.
So let's focus on that final six game stretch for the Terps. It starts tonight, the rare back to back with Nebraska, who was the first program on our State of the Program episode. They play the Huskers in College Park both tonight and Wednesday. And then four more games, like you mentioned, Matt, pretty manageable when you look at the Big Ten overall. What do you think needs to happen for Maryland here over this final six game stretch to solidify an appearance in the NCAA tournament?
Honestly, I think they have to win five of them, which is a lot to say, considering it seems like every night someone's beating someone they shouldn't. Penn State beat Nebraska beat Penn State rather the other night. Penn State beat up on Wisconsin and gets blown out the game after that. It just doesn't really make any sense. But that's why this is the best conference in the country. And if they're able to beat both, they have to beat Nebraska twice. I think the resume of having a loss to Nebraska would hurt extremely. That would be very detrimental to the roster. But if they lose to Michigan State or lose to Northwestern, those are two teams that were ranked at one point. Obviously, they fell off a lot, but there would be some more slack that I cut for them there. But they have to beat Penn State to split that series, and they have to beat Nebraska twice. Losing one of those games to Michigan State, Northwestern in the middle of all that would not be the worst thing, but I think five wins would pretty much guarantee that they're off the bubble and into the tournament.
And Ken Pom agrees with you. He has Maryland favored to win five of these final six games for the Terps this year. Speaking with Matt Levine, a play-by-play broadcaster for WMUC on campus in College Park. He's been calling games all college basketball season long for Maryland. Now, Matt, I have to ask you, if Maryland is able to make the NCAA tournament, do you think this is a group that can make some noise in March?
I think it is, but I mean, I think anybody can make noise in March, but when you're looking at the team they had last year, that was a team I thought would go to the Final Four, even regardless of winning the Big Ten championship in the regular season, regardless of their record. And just if you picked them right before the season, I said this team is going to the Final Four because they had Anthony Cowan Jr. and Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith became a top 10 pick. Anthony Cowan Jr. now in the G League, but was a historic Maryland player. And you look at the makeup of teams that make a run, it's a great guard and a great big man. Maryland doesn't have the great big man. They don't even have a great guard. They have three good guards in Ayala, Morsell, and Wiggins. So do I think they can make a run? Yes. Is it likely? No, if I'm going to be completely honest. But they have veteran leadership with Morsell, Wiggins, and Ayala, a senior and two juniors. They have Dante Scott, who's been a great sophomore, had a good freshman year last year. It's just they're missing that one piece of a traditional big man, which has been a struggle for them in the games they've lost in conference play against Hunter Dickinson, Luca Garza, Kofi Coburn. They were able to shut him down somehow. I don't know how, but and it's really just crazy when they're able to shut a big guy like that down. So let's say they're a lower seed going up against another power school and they have a big man, that could hurt them, I think. But if you're looking at just one phenomenal game like they did play on Sunday, Morsell absolutely locked down Marcus Carr. You have a guy like that, a defensive player like that, that can just change the pace of play and just get stops. Marcus Carr only had 9 points. He was in single digits for the second time this year, and they lost both the games that he was in single digits. So just to eliminate a guard like that is tremendous, and getting a big man in foul trouble, they've done significantly well of late. So if they're able to do those two things defensively, I think their offense is good enough to win games in the tournament. They just have to make shots because – they go on cold stretches that just really hurt them in games, and they only went on one cold stretch on Sunday. So I think they are capable of making a run, but it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be an uphill battle the whole time.
As coaches tell you, when you get to March, when you get to the big dance, seeds are great. Matchups are more important. That could go in the favor or against Maryland by the time we get to March. But if Maryland does make the NCAA tournament, I think that just speaks to the strength of the Big Ten Conference. And it's seemingly like if Maryland can get above 500, which they have a good chance to do over this final six-game stretch, the Terps will be a part of the big dance in the great state of Indiana in the month of March. We have to ask Matt Levine, a play-by-play broadcast for WMUC in College Park. How many more games are you calling this year? Give us what the schedule is looking like for you.
Well, I got both games tonight and then tomorrow, so Tuesday and Wednesday. So both against Nebraska, I'll be doing half of play-by-play, half analysis on tonight's game, and then full play-by-play on Wednesday's game. From there, we don't get to travel this year, unfortunately. So we put in a credential request to go to Rutgers just to drive up, but they wouldn't let us come, unfortunately. Yeah. So potentially the Michigan State game and then the senior night against Penn State. Probably, I would say, one of those two.
Well, that sounds like a great schedule to me, and I'm glad that you get to be there, get to be involved in the action, calling these games for Maryland, who is playing some pretty good basketball right now and has a shot at making the NCAA tournament. On our State of the Program episode, our 200th episode of the show, Matt Levine, you brought it. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you for having me.
So many thanks again to both of my guests on this Tuesday State of the Program episode, Nick Hanley of the Nick Hanley Show on AM 590 ESPN Omaha. You can catch me every Monday at 5:15 p.m. Eastern, 4:15 p.m. Central in the Omaha metro area, talking everything about the Big Ten Conference. That's each and every Monday on the Nick Hanley Show. And then, of course, Matt Levine, a play-by-play broadcaster for WMUC on campus in College Park, calling Maryland games and providing that insight here on our two first State of the Program episode on this 200th episode of the Locked On Big Ten podcast. Again, a many, many thanks to all of you out there who have listened, who have supported, who have interacted with me. All of it has been so much fun developing this show for you, providing you the latest updates, all the fun, engaging content we have done throughout the Big Ten Conference in these 200 episodes. Let's keep it rolling. We are in the home stretch of Big Ten basketball. Three games tonight. It starts off with Michigan State visiting Purdue. We have Nebraska visiting Maryland, and then the nightcap in the state of Illinois, Northwestern visits Illinois. Great games across the slate. This is what we have each and every night in the Big Ten Conference over this final month or so, a little less than a month of the Big Ten regular season in college basketball. It's exciting. 200 episodes in the book, hopefully 200 more to come here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. So until we get to tomorrow, when it's Bracketology Wednesday, once again, with our resident bracketologist, Kevin Sweeney, have a splendid Tuesday.